Chapter 14. Prices.
Our periodicals have been offered for a limited time on trial at a very low figure. But this has failed of accomplishing the object designed to secure many permanent subscribers. These efforts are made at considerable expense, often at a loss, and with the best of motives. But if no reduction in price had been made, a greater number of permanent subscribers would have been obtained. Plans have been made for lowering the prices of our books without making a corresponding change in the cost of production. This is an error. The work should be kept on a paying basis. Let not the prices of books be lowered by special offers which may be termed inducements or bribes. God does not approve of these methods. There is a demand for low-priced books, and this demand must be met. But the right plan is to lessen the cost of production. In new fields, among ignorant or partially civilized peoples, there is a great need of small books presenting the truth in simple language and abundantly illustrated. These books must be sold at a low price, and the illustrations must, of course, be inexpensive.
Chapter 15. Translations.
A far greater effort should be made to extend the circulation of our literature in all parts of the world. The warning must be given in all lands and to all peoples. Our books are to be translated and published in many different languages. We should multiply publications on our faith in English, German, French, Danish-Norwegian, Swedish, Spanish, Italian, Portuguese, and many other tongues. And people of all nationalities should be enlightened and educated, that they too may join in the work. Let our publishing houses do all in their power to diffuse to the world the light of heaven. In every way possible, call the attention of the people of every nation and tongue to those things that will direct their minds to the Book of Books. Great care should be exercised in selecting the members of the book committee. The men who are to pass judgment on the books offered for publication should be few and well chosen. Only such as have an experimental knowledge of authorship are qualified to act in this capacity. Only those should be chosen whose hearts are under the control of the Spirit of God. They should be men of prayer, men who do not exalt self, but who love and fear God and respect their brethren. Only such as, in distrust of self, are led by divine wisdom are competent to fill this important position.
Chapter 16. Commercial Work.
The Lord directed that publishing houses should be established for the promulgation of present truth and for the transaction of the various lines of business which this work embraces. At the same time, they should keep in touch with the world, that the truth may be as a light set on a candlestick, to give light to all that are in the house. In God's providence, Daniel and his fellows were connected with the great men of Babylon, that these men might become acquainted with the religion of the Hebrews and know that God rules over all kingdoms. Daniel in Babylon was placed in a most trying position, but while faithfully performing his duties as a statesman, he steadfastly refused to engage in any work that would militate against God. This course provoked discussion, and thus the Lord brought the faith of Daniel to the attention of the king of Babylon. God had light for Nebuchadnezzar, and through Daniel were presented to the king things foretold in the prophecies concerning Babylon and other kingdoms. By the interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, Jehovah was exalted as more powerful than earthly rulers. Thus, through the faithfulness of Daniel, God was honored. In like manner, the Lord desires that our publishing houses shall witness for him.
Chapter 17. Opportunities in Commercial Work.
One of the means by which these institutions are brought in contact with the world is found in commercial work. A door is thus opened for the communication of the light of truth. The workmen may think themselves doing only worldly business when they are engaged in the very work that will call out questions in regard to the faith and principles they hold. If they are of the right spirit, they will be able to speak words in season. If the light of heavenly truth and love is in them, it cannot but shine out. The very manner in which they conduct business will make manifest the working of divine principles. Of our workers, the artisans, as of one of old, it may be said, I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom and in understanding, and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. See Exodus 31, verse 3.
Chapter 18. Not to Stand First.
In no case are the publishing institutions to be devoted chiefly to commercial work. When this work is given the first place, those connected with the publishing houses lose sight of the purpose for which they were established, and their work deteriorates. There is danger that managers whose spiritual perception is perverted will enter into contracts to publish questionable matter merely for the sake of gain. As the result of taking in this work, the purpose for which the offices of publication were established is lost sight of, and the institutions are regarded very much as any other commercial enterprise would be. In this, God is dishonored. In some of our publishing houses, the commercial work necessitates a constant increase of expensive machinery and other facilities. The outlay thus demanded is a heavy tax on the resources of the institution, and with a large amount of work there is required not only an increase of facilities, but a larger force of workers that can be properly disciplined. It is claimed that the commercial work is a financial benefit to the office, but one of authority has made a correct estimate of the cost of this work at our leading publishing houses. He presented the true balance, showing that the loss exceeds the gain. He showed that this work causes the workers to be driven with a constant rush. In the atmosphere of hurry and bustle and worldliness, true piety and devotion wither. It is not necessary that the commercial work should be entirely divorced from the publishing houses, for this would close the door against rays of light that should be given to the world. And connection with outside parties need to be no more detrimental to the workers than was Daniel's work as a statesman, a perversion of his faith and principles. But whenever it is found to interfere with the spirituality of the institution, let the outside work be excluded. Build up the work that represents the truth. Let this always come first, and the commercial work second. Our mission is to give to the world the message of warning and mercy.
Chapter 19. Prices.
In the effort to secure outside patronage in order to relieve the publishing houses from financial embarrassment, prices have been set so low that the work brings no profit. Those who flatter themselves that there is a gain have not kept strict account of every outgo. Do not cut down prices in order to secure a job. Take only such work as will give a fair profit. At the same time, there should be in our business deal no shadow of selfishness or overreaching. Let no one take advantage of any man's ignorance or necessity by charging exorbitant prices for work done or for goods sold. There will be a strong temptation to diverge from the straight path. There will be innumerable arguments in favor of conforming to custom and adopting practices that are really dishonest. Some urge that in dealing with sharpers, one must conform to custom, that should he maintain strict integrity, he could not carry on business and secure a livelihood. Where is our faith in God? He owns us as his sons and daughters on condition that we come out from the world and be separate, and touch not the unclean thing. To his institutions, as well as to individual Christians, are addressed the words, Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And his promise is sure that all things needed for this life shall be added. Let it be written upon the conscience as with a pen of iron upon the rock that real success, whether for this life or for the life to come, can be secured only by faithful adherence to the eternal principles of right.
Chapter 20. Demoralizing Literature.
When our publishing houses do a large amount of commercial work, there is great danger that an objectionable class of literature will be brought in. Upon one occasion when these matters were brought to my attention, my guide inquired of one occupying a responsible position in a publishing institution, "How much do you receive in payment for this work?" The figures were placed before him. He said, "This is too small a sum. If you do business in this way, you meet with loss. But even should you receive a much larger sum, this class of literature could be published only at a great loss. The influence on the workers is demoralizing. All the messages that God shall send them, presenting the sacredness of the work, are neutralized by your action in consenting to print such matter. The world is flooded with books that might better be consumed than circulated. Books upon Indian warfare and similar topics, published and circulated as a money-making scheme, might better never be read. There is satanic fascination in such books. The heart-sickening relation of crimes and atrocities has a bewitching power upon many youth, exciting in them the desire to bring themselves into notice by the most wicked deeds. There are many works more strictly historical whose influence is little better. The enormities, the cruelties, the licentious practices portrayed in these writings have acted as leaven in many minds, leading to the commission of similar acts. Books that delineate the satanic practices of human beings are giving publicity to evil works. The horrible details of crime and misery need not to be lived over, and none who believe the truth for this time should act a part in perpetuating their memory. Love stories and frivolous, exciting tales constitute another class of books that is a curse to every reader. The author may attach a good moral, and all through his work may weave religious sentiments, yet in most cases, Satan is but clothed in angel robes the more effectually to deceive and allure. The mind is affected in a great degree by that upon which it feeds. The readers of frivolous, exciting tales become unfitted for the duties lying before them. They live an unreal life and have no desire to search the Scriptures, to feed upon the heavenly manna. The mind is enfeebled and loses its power to contemplate the great problems of duty and destiny. I have been instructed that the youth are exposed to the greatest peril from improper reading. Satan is constantly leading both the young and those of mature age to be charmed with worthless stories. Could a large share of the books published be consumed, a plague would be stayed that is doing a fearful work in weakening the mind and corrupting the heart. None are so confirmed in right principles as to be secure from temptation. All this trashy reading should be resolutely discarded. We have no permission from the Lord to engage either in the printing or in the sale of such publications, for they are the means of destroying many souls. I know of what I am writing, for this matter has been opened before me. Let not those who believe the message for this time engage in such work, thinking to make money. The Lord will put a blight upon the means thus obtained. He will scatter more than is gathered. There is another class of literature, more defiling than the leprosy, more deadly than the plagues of Egypt, against which our publishing houses need unceasingly to guard. In accepting commercial work, let them beware lest matters presenting the very science of Satan be admitted into our institutions. Let not works setting forth the soul-destroying theories of hypnotism, spiritualism, Romanism, or other mysteries of iniquity find a place in our publishing houses. Let nothing be handled by the employees that will sow one seed of doubt in regard to the authority or purity of the Scriptures. Upon no consideration let infidel sentiments be placed before the youth, whose minds so eagerly grasp anything new. At the very highest figures that might be paid, such work could be published only at an infinite loss. To allow matter of this character to pass through our institutions is to place in the hands of the employees and to present to the world the fruit of the forbidden tree of knowledge. It is to invite Satan to come in with his bewitching science, to insinuate his principles in the very institutions that are set for the advancement of the sacred work of God. To publish matter of this character would be loading the guns of the enemy and placing them in their hands to be used against the truth. Think you that Jesus will stand in the publishing establishment to work through human minds by his ministering angels? Think you that he will make the truth coming from the presses a power to warn the world if Satan is allowed to pervert the minds of the workers right in the institution? Can God's blessing attend the publications coming from the press when from the same press are sent forth satanic heresy and delusion? Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? See James 3, verse 11. The managers of our institutions need to realize that in accepting their position, they become responsible for the mental food given to the workers while in the institution. They are responsible for the character of the matter that goes forth from our presses. They will be called to account for the influence exerted by the introduction of matter that would defile the institution, contaminate the workers, or mislead the world. If such matter is allowed a place in our institutions, it will be found that the subtle power of Satan's sentiments is not easily cast out. If the tempter is allowed to sow his evil seed, it will germinate and bring forth fruit. There will be a harvest for his reaping in the very institutions established by the funds of God's people for the advancement of his work. It will result in sending forth to the world, in place of Christian workers, a company of educated infidels. In these matters, a responsibility rests not only upon the managers, but upon the employees. I have a word to say to the workers in every publishing house established among us. As you love and fear God, refuse to have anything to do with the knowledge against which God warned Adam. Let typesetters refuse to set a sentence of such matter. Let proofreaders refuse to read, pressmen to print, and binders to bind it. If asked to handle such matter, call for a meeting of the workers at the institution, that there may be an understanding as to what such things mean. Those in charge of the institution may urge that you are not responsible, that the managers must arrange these matters. But you are responsible. Responsible for the use of your eyes, your hands, your mind. These are entrusted to you by God to be used for him, not for the service of Satan. When matters containing errors that counteract the work of God are printed in our houses of publication, God holds accountable not only those who allow Satan to lay a trap for souls, but those who in any way cooperate in the work of temptation. My brethren in responsible positions, beware that you do not harness your workers to the car of superstition and heresy. Let not the institutions ordained by God to send out life-giving truth be made an agency for the dissemination of soul-destroying error. Let our publishing houses, from the least to the greatest, refuse to print a line of such pernicious matter. Let it be understood by all with whom we have to do that from all our institutions, literature containing the science of Satan is excluded. We are brought into connection with the world, not that we may be leavened with the world's falsehood, but that as God's agencies we may leaven the world with his truth.